Man, we really don't need technology, do we? That's for the folks that love technology. I want to just say this, and I have to say, not complaining, but explaining. But I want to thank Brother Pittman Senior for the garden that he does every year, him and Brother Moore. The year before, it was a struggle because, you know, him working with the ground, you know, we kind of dealing with situations as far as, you know, never been a garden on that ground, but he's a determined person to make it happen. And he's determined. I mean, he looks at the ground and like, you ain't gonna win this battle. I'm gonna get this. He has a determined. I'm telling you, there's a message in there. I'm telling you, he's a determined individual when it comes to that garden. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you all don't understand the time and the effort that he puts in there. While you're at home, he's out there in that garden. You know, Brother Moore loves the garden too. He has one in his backyard, but Brother Pittman loves it as well. And so they take the time out to plant the garden, till the garden, and do all of those things for us to have something to eat.
All right.
What I'm getting at is that in them doing all of that hard work and planting the greens and, you know, the tomatoes and the peppers and everything, y'all know folks don't want to go out there and pick it. They want the brothers to pick it. Not only, I'm just saying this, you know, it's getting to the point where, okay, they pick it, now you're going to want them to cook it. That's what I'm thinking, you know, that's what's going to happen. That's what folks do. And it reminds me, when God said to the children of Israel in the desert, okay, he's going to feed them. You know, still wasn't satisfied. Even though God said, I'm going to feed you. All you got to do is go out there and pick it up. You know, folks really didn't want to do that. They want you to bring it to the table for them. But my mind went to the pre-Thanksgiving dinner. Here it is. We have this pre-Thanksgiving dinner. And is designed for fellowship. It's designed to bring us together. And there's a committee. I'm not sure who's all on the committee, but I know that there is a committee. And with that being said, the committee is putting this together for us to come and fellowship. We don't do a lot after service with one another, like going to various churches. As you, if you came from a church in East St. Louis, let me say this way, you know, just about every Sunday there was something done after service. You are going to a visiting church or somebody was coming to you. But you notice we don't do a lot of visiting. There's a reason for that. But we don't do a lot of visiting. So this is just one time out of the year that I'm asking us to fellowship together, have dinner together, sit down with each other. One time out of the entire year that we do this. So I'm asking everyone, whosoever will, let them come. It's kind of like the invitation Jesus gives us, right?
All right.
Whosoever will, let them come.
Uh-huh.
Folks don't want to come. But I'm hoping that you will come to this fellowship. Now, I don't know what's all on the menu, but I know it's going to be some eating taking place.
All right.
So all you really have to do is show up. Isn't that a blessing? That all you have to do is show up and eat.
All right.
Now, y'all know we can eat. Because we eat when we get up. We snack. We get a lunch. We eat later on. And in between all that, we're snacking on something. Bring your appetite next Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Bring your appetite next Sunday. We thank God for the committee that is putting this together. Thank God for them and the planning and everything that they're doing. Thank God for each and every one of you. The songs, the musicians, praise team. Just pray that you all will remain faithful. Despite of what things look like, despite of what things are, just remain faithful in the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Our speaker this morning is Minister Vivian. She's going to come and give us a word on this morning. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God one more time. Hallelujah. We should be ecstatic. We should be excited about coming to the house of God, because you know what? There are people, there's countries that won't even allow the name of Jesus to be even mentioned. So we have a privilege, hallelujah, to be in the house one more time. Amen. Glory to God. My scripture is coming from Genesis, the 50th chapter, and I'm reading from the NIV. The 50th chapter, the 19th and the 20th verse. When you have it, say amen. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of my lives, the saving of many lives." Amen. Thus said the word of God. Amen. We all know the story about Joseph and the things that happened to him. And a lot of times when things start happening to us, we question God. Well, why is this happening? And what's going on with this? And why is this? And this, that, and the other. But God has a reason for everything that happens in our life, be it good, bad, or ugly. He has a reason for it to happen. Amen. And with Joseph's brothers, this thing started with his brothers and them being jealous of him. And that spirit of jealousy can cause you to do some things that you really don't even want to do. But because you are angry, they were angry with him, and they were jealous. So his father sent him to the fields to find the brothers to see where they was grazing. He got there, and they wasn't there. So he went down a little ways, and this man told him, he said, well, they went to Dothan. So he followed them, and the brothers afar off saw him, and they said, okay, we're going to kill him. And see, the father didn't make it any better, for real, because Joseph was his favorite. You know, and the reason being, because he was conceived, Joseph's father was old when Joseph was conceived. So he kind of favored him. He gave him this garment, this coat of many colors. When the brothers saw that, they really became angry. So they said, well, you know what? Since he's so crazy about him and he loved him so much, we're going to take him out. We're going to kill him. But God, that's all I can say is but God. The brother Reuben, he said, no, we're not going to shed no blood. We're going to take him and throw him in his cistern so we won't be shedding no blood. So they said, okay, no blood. Well, during that time when he was thrown in there, Reuben came back to look for him, and he was gone. And he asked the brothers, he said, where is it? What's going on with that? a caravan of merchants had come through there, and they sold him. Aha! But see, what they meant for evil, God had a plan. He had a plan all the time. Joseph went from the pit to the palace to prison. Aha! But you know, even doing that, everything that this young man did, he prospered. He went, they sold him to Potiphar. And in his house, he had everything he wanted in his house. He told him, you can have except for my wife. Well, when I was reading this, Joseph was a nice looking brother. Nice. He was nice looking. But he was young. He was 17. He was nice looking. And I'm keep saying he was nice looking. So Potiphar's wife, she was a cougar. She wanted some of Joseph. She kept Adam. She walked past him and she looked at him. My. He said, no. He said, no. He said, your husband, my master, has put me in charge over this whole house. I would not stoop that low and sleep with you. So being a woman, you know, we can be corny. We put on our this, that, and the other, and baby, it's on then. So this one particular day, Joseph went in the house, and there was nobody there. All the servants were gone. So she said, aha, I got him now. So she thought. She went for the cloak, the garment that he had on, and when she knew anything, it was in her hand. He had fled. He was gone. She started screaming, and then the servants came in, and she said, this Hebrew that your master put over in this house, he tried to sleep with me. And of course, they told Potiphar, and he became furious. You know, I trusted you, and this is what you do? So he threw him in prison. But you know, everything that Joseph did, he prospered. Even in prison, nobody that you know off the street to go to prison have a position. You're just a common prisoner just like everybody else. You don't have no authority. You don't have no power. But this man went to prison, and this was already in the plan. God had this already in the plan. He was over the prisoners. After for a while, he was released from prison. And Pharaoh, now we all know Pharaoh could be a mean somebody. But Pharaoh gave him the position over everything in Egypt that belonged to him. He was his accountant. If you came there and got a grain, you had to go through Joseph. Amen. Had to go through Joseph. From the pit to the palace to prison to prosperity. Hallelujah. This is what God do. When the enemy think, okay, I got you, God says, not so. It ain't going to happen. You belong to me. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. He said, I know the thoughts that I have of you. They're good and not evil. His brothers thought, okay, they didn't even know. But little did they know that they were going to have to come to Egypt and they was going to see Joseph again. And that's where they was going to get their food from. But what they meant for evil, he said, no, I'm not angry. I'm not God. I'm not the vindicator. God will do the vindicating. I'm going to do what I need to do to get to where I need to be. And one thing after I started studying this and reading this, Joseph was very humble. Because many of us, we'd have been so angry. Well, she lied on me, and she did this, and she did that, and I, and my brother, he did none of that. He did no complaining. He trusted God. God prospered him. Amen. He put him in a place, and see, with the Egyptians, number one, he was a Hebrew. He was in Egypt. They didn't communicate. I'm sure if the Egyptians walked down the street, the Hebrews probably went on the other side of the street. They weren't buddy-buddies. They weren't texting. They weren't on Facebook. They weren't on none of that. They didn't even dwell in the same place. They weren't even a part of it. They didn't even have the same blood running through their veins. Joseph was a foreigner, and he was over the Egyptians. Oh, no. Them the folks that tried to run the children of Israel into the Red Sea. Them the same folk. But God. But God. God will make something out of nothing. Amen. He will take you from the poorhouse to the White House. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God that we serve. Glory to God. He'll create a job just for you. He created that job for Joseph. He designed it. He was the architect of that. He was the Joseph, hallelujah, a designer original. Hallelujah. He didn't have to, but God, he kept a meek attitude. He didn't get pompous and pious. And he didn't walk around with an attitude. Well, they did this to me, and they did this to me, and I owe them, and I'm going to get them. Now he says, no, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to let God be God, and he's going to take charge. And God did just that. When folk lie on you, and they will do it, the word of God says offense will come. But you know what? That's okay. You don't have to like it. But you know what? God is still in control. He will put you in a position that you don't even qualify for. Right, Pastor? He'll give you something that you have never had. That's the God that we serve. When you look around, you're like, oh my God. Where did all of that come from? God. What the devil meant against you. And you know what? He's going up and down, to and fro, up and down. The Lord asked him, he said, Satan, where you been? He said, I'm going up and down. I've been up and down, to and fro, seeking whom I devour. He said, have you considered my servant Ronnie? I know what I put in him. All right. Glory to God. I know what he's equipped with. He said, I know he ain't going to turn his back on me. Right. Just like he did Job. Job did not charge God foolishly, but his wife did. But God, God know what he put in us. He know. It may not look good. It may not feel good. And sometimes it don't even taste good. But because he's God, he's the author and the finisher of our faith, he knows what is best for us. He know what we can withstand. He know this. So when things start happening and we think, oh, Lord, you know, folks want to question you. Well, what did you do? Well, some of you must have did something. Hear the favorite line. You must be having a lot of bad luck. No, I don't believe in bad luck. It's either you blessed or you cursed, one of the two. And the blessing of the Lord make it rich and add no sorrows. Joseph was blessed and highly favored by God. His brothers did not understand that. They just knew, okay, we met up with him. He's going to get us for what we did to him. Joseph said, no, I ain't going to bother you. God is bigger than I am. He got this. And that's what we have to remember. When people start doing all kind of old mean stuff to us, we have to remember, I'm chosen. I'm God's vessel. He's my Father. He's the chief and the commander in charge. I ain't talking about Barack Obama. I'm talking about Jesus, the Christ, the ruler. That's who I'm talking about. He's in control. No matter what it looks like, God has the last say-so. But they, and when we go to him, my sister's favorite line is, Lord, you see, he really do see. But he's thinking to himself, what are you going to do about it? Absolutely, positively nothing. But allow malice and all this stuff to build up in your heart. Because when folks start doing stuff to us, it makes us angry. And we have a whole different attitude. I ain't talking to them. You know what they did to me. God says, I know what they did to you. He said, I saw it. I knew it was going to happen. But nevertheless, I'm going to use that happened to you for your good. And we can't understand that because, see, the gospel is upside down. We don't understand a whole lot of things in the Bible. But you know what? It's his word, and his word is his word. And he is his word. So whether you understand it or not, trust God. Trust God. If you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan. Because he has a plan for good and not for evil. So when these things come upon us, think it not strange. Think it not strange. Hallelujah. It's coming. It's coming. And like Sister Tanya said today, if you ain't going through nothing now, it's coming. If you're in it, you're coming out of it. Everybody have a day. If everything is going all right for you all the time, you better check your salvation. You better check your salvation because something wrong, something ain't right. The devil ain't bothering you? Okay. Mm-hmm. Could it be that he already got you? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. He's working it for your good. And see, we be fussing and fighting and kicking and screaming. Lord, I don't want to do it. Shut up sometimes and listen. If you be quiet sometimes, you can hear God's voice. But as long as you running your mouth, you talking all over him, he ain't going to talk to you. Because you're not listening. Listen. He's working it for your good. Be it a job, be it whatever it is, financial situation, he's working it for your good. Long as you stay in communication, long as you stay in right relationship with God, there's nothing that he's going to withhold from you. Stay in relationship with God. We want a relationship with everybody else. And we want to put God on the back burner. But what, excuse my vernacular, but when all hell starts breaking, then you run to him. You run to him. You take off running then. Well, where was you at when you was out there parlaying? You wasn't thinking about God then because everything was going. All the bills was paid. Nothing is due. Just everything is just happening. It's just, but when the bottom falls out, you're thinking like, oh, God. Well, it should have been, oh, God, from the beginning. When you think and you don't get it, God is not going to allow you to die in it. It's not going to kill you. Because Joseph probably could have done a million and one thing but rather than stand the test. But he stood the test and he passed the test. And he was prosperous. Joseph got to be, I think, 140-some years old. That's old. But what the devil meant for evil, what that person on your job, your neighbors, your so-called friends meant for evil, God says, hey, I'm going to show you I can do a new thing. I can turn it around. And they're looking at you like, I thought, no, you didn't think it. Not for real, you didn't. But just remember, he's working it for your good. And Sister Tanya, I'm a runner too. I just haven't ran here. I'm a runner. And then my this right foot, I wear it out. That's my praise. Hallelujah. But he's working it for your good. He's working it. If you don't remember nothing else today, remember, he's working it for your good. No matter what it looks like, it's all in his hands. All in his hands. Through this and that, put it in his hands, and he'll work it out. Amen.